Thank you, Victoria, and the worship team for leading us this morning in these amazing songs. I was told that as they were coming, as they're practicing this morning, that my name should be either Peters, Bergen, or Lysak, because this is a Peters, Bergen, and Lysak day. So, Dave, I'm just going to pull this down here like this. So, it's great. It's good. I'm loving this. For those of you who are the younger generation and would like to follow along with my message, we've got some sheets on the back table out in the foyer that will help you along with the things that I'm going to be doing and saying and speaking about here this morning. I'm just going to get my thing all queued up here. That's the wrong one. Perfect. Perfect. Other than the men who come to the Tuesday morning men's breakfast with Jesus, I'm not sure any of you have ever seen me drink a cup of coffee. Have you? Because I let it be known the fact that I don't drink coffee. In fact, one of you who are sitting here today, when they hear that, says, well, you're a cheap date because if we go out for coffee, I don't have to buy you coffee, right? So, but I'll be honest, I like coffee. Actually, I like it a lot. I like the smell of it. I like the taste of it. I just don't drink coffee very often because I have a stuttering problem and it affects my stuttering. But every now and then, especially early Tuesday mornings when you're up so really, really early, great time, men's breakfast, really you need to come. But every now and then in those mornings, I take a cup of decaf because it just helps me. And we have a bit of a day ahead of us too, so this is actually pretty good. So thanks, Paul. Thanks for my coffee. You didn't write enough sweetness in it, so I really kind of like that. Back in the day when I used to drink a lot of coffee, back in Bible school, I used to mock my my profs who I went out for coffee with because they'd always put a bunch of creamer in that and said, oh, you gotta take it like a man, take it black. Well, as I've gotten older, I don't take it black anymore. So that's all good. That's all fun. Let's take a moment to pray as we come into God's Word this morning. Father, thank you for this amazing morning. Thank you for the fact that every one of us is here for a reason, that none of us is here by accident, that you've called each and every one of us here. And Father, we've had the joy and the privilege of worshiping you through song, through communion, through the offering, through our connecting with one another and our visiting before church, and even some of that will go on after church. And Father, we pray, Lord, now as you come into your word, may we have ears to hear from you. Speak to us, Father. Give us that one thing, those two things, just to take away this morning as we come and as we allow you to penetrate our heart and our life and our soul so that we can be transformed and changed more and more into the men and into the women that you've called us to be. So, Lord, I pray that my words and my thoughts will not be of my own, but will have been from you. We pray all these things in the name of Jesus. So, please turn with me either on your phones or if you have your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 1. Of those of you who want a Bible, there's some Bibles actually on the pulpit right back there if you want to grab one. And we're going to be looking today at 1 Peter chapter 1. In fact, we've been going through 1 Peter a little bit when I've been speaking. This summer, I thought I'd just take a bit of a journey through the book of 1 Peter. And for those of you who've been around, 3 weeks ago when I started this journey, we looked at the greeting that's found in verses 1 and 2. And in it, we see and we read the fact that we're chosen by God and that we're living here as foreigners on this earth. And foreigners live in different places for a particular reason and a particular purpose. And our reason and our purpose of living as foreigners on this earth is to live like Jesus and then to be salt and light for Jesus. So that's what we looked at 3 weeks ago when we started this journey. 2 weeks ago, we looked at verses 3 to 5, which gives us some Christian lingo words, the words like born again and mercy, hope, inheritance, and protection. And we looked at, 2 weeks ago, we looked at how these words shape and define our faith and that they're good words to have and to live by. Well, now today we're going to look at the next two verses, verses 6 and 7. So I'm going to be reading from the New Living Translation in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 6 and 7. It reads this way in my Bible. So be truly glad. There is a wonderful joy ahead, even though you may you have to endure many trials for a little while. These trials will show that your faith is genuine. It is being tested as fire tests and purifies gold, though your faith is far more precious than mere gold. So when your faith remains strong through the many trials, it will bring you much praise and glory and honor on the day when Jesus Christ is revealed to the whole world. So these verses clearly speak to us about trials, and actually trials is really a central theme of the whole of 1 Peter. You see, when Peter talked to the people, to his initial audience, about being foreigners in verse 1, he understood that going through trials is just part of the equation, because foreigners go through trials. We see this in other parts of the world, but we also see this here in Canada. Let me tell you about the previous community where we used to live. We've been here for just over a year, but previous to that, we lived in a place for 8 years. And what was interesting for me was that when we got there 8 years ago, this community was very white. It was extremely white. You hardly saw somebody of color around at all. But as the years went on and on and on, we noticed that it changed a little bit. It was still mostly white, but we started getting people of color. We started getting people whose language was not English. And it was just an interesting thing that happened in and through that time. But what I found very interesting was as our community became less and less white, and English wasn't always spoken, I saw and heard the derogatory and hostile looks that were thrown and shown to these foreigners, as it were. I saw a lack of patience that was shown to them in the stores and in the restaurants when you were trying to order something. I heard the names that these people were called. And these names were not pretty. I grew up in a community that was about a third white, a third indigenous, and a third East Indian. And some of the names that I heard in our previous community that were thrown towards the East Indian community, we would never have said back when I grew up, because they were nasty and they were so inappropriate. And this is what I was hearing in my previous community, and I'm sure those same types of attitudes and mentalities happen here in Brandon as well. Foreigners go through trials. Because as inclusive as we say, as we are here in Canada, it is not as inclusive as we make it out to be. Foreigners are disliked. They're called names, and they are mistreated. They face trials in and through that. But as I've mentioned, and as we've read previously in verse 1 of this passage, is that we are called foreigners. And we're not foreigners because of our language or because of our skin color, but because we are followers of Jesus. And just like other foreigners are mistreated and can face trials, so we too can be mistreated, and so we will also face trials. And we looked at a few verses 3 weeks ago that made this very, very clear from the Scripture, is that we, as foreigners, as followers of Jesus, will face trials. This word trial in 1 Peter here is actually a general term that has a broad application. It could mean, amongst other things, persecution. A few weeks ago, Nathan Heppner and I were getting together. In fact, Nathan is speaking next Sunday. And he got me onto this website here where we talked about this whole idea. According to Open Doors 2019, their actual report that's come out in the last number of weeks, 11 Christians are killed each day for being a follower of Jesus. So just think about that right now. Potentially 11 of you here won't see tomorrow. Potentially 11 more of you won't see Tuesday. That is happening to our brothers and sisters, to the followers of Jesus, who people who will want to gather like we do, to worship God like we do. That is happening as we speak. 105 churches or Christian buildings are either burned or attacked each month. 219 Christians are detained without trial, arrested, sentenced, or imprisoned each month. Truly, folks, this is happening. Our world is persecuting Christians, and that persecution is actually slowly creeping more and more into Canada as well. We may not be attacked like this, but sometimes there is verbal abuse that is heaped to us. Insults or slander or anything like that, being mocked for our faith. Have any of you been mocked because you are a follower of Jesus? Some of you have. I remember distinctly a few years ago this happened to me. Many of you know that I was a chaplain of a midget AAA hockey team in our former community. And I remember at this one banquet that I was at, I was asked to come up to the front, maybe to give an award or maybe to pray for the meal. I really forget what. But remember, as I walked past this table, one of the fathers of one of the boys who I was a team chaplain of sat and mocked me with his buddies at his table. And here I was, touching and trying to help his son. Verbal abuse, being mocked for our faith, is part of the trials that we will go through as followers of Jesus. But this word trial could also mean something like this. It could mean just the struggles that we kind of go through, that we experience by just living life and living faith in this broken down, fallen world. Because things don't end up and things don't look the way that we ought to or we think that they should. We have struggles with our faith. And this word trial, it can mean all of those things because it's such a general word. But whatever form of trial that it takes in your life, the key according to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 6, is this, that they will be for a little while. That they will be for a little while. They are temporary. In fact, I want us to do an exercise that one of the commentators had suggested that we do, and that is this. I want you just to take a moment to think back to a year ago, to July 21st, 2018. Some of us have old memories. It's going to be harder to get back there, but think back to a year ago. What trials were you experiencing then? Think back to that. Think back to your trials then. Probably, if you're going through some health issues, maybe that sticks out, or maybe a couple of really big things stick out, but maybe lots of those day-to-day trials that you were experiencing a year ago, they're probably gone. Or you probably have forgotten maybe some of the trials that you're going through then, right? This is an example of the idea, the fact that trials do not go on forever. Even if they seem to last a long time, that as we're going through them right now and going through them today, they are still short in light of eternity. Folks, this is the viewpoint that God desires us to have as followers of Jesus regarding our trials. And this is hard to do sometimes. I know that. This is especially hard to do if that trial seems to never end or seems to not have an end. But God is calling us to see whatever trials that we're going through, be it the persecution, be it the abuse, or be it just the general trials of life, we're to see them as temporary because they won't last forever in light of eternity. That's the perspective that we have from God's word here that he wants us to have on our trials. But here's, folks, here's the amazing thing about God. See, he takes those trials in whatever form they come and does something amazing with them. Look again at the first part of verse 7 when he says, "These trials will show that your faith is genuine. It is being tested as fire tests and purifies gold, though your faith is far more precious than mere gold." See, God uses the trials that we go through to burn off, as it were, all the impurities of our faith, to make it pure, to make it genuine, just as fire burns off all the impurities of gold when it is smelted. You see, folks, God takes the ugly that we go through and makes it beautiful. That's the amazing thing that our God does. And really, when you think about it, trials has the same effect on our faith as trials has on our relationships. Each of you who are here who are married know exactly what I mean. Because I suspect, though I don't know, I suspect that in your married life you've had some trials. Don't put up your hands, because those of you who don't, you're lying, and we know that. So, people who are married, we go through trials. But what's been interesting when you look back at those trials that you've gone through in your marriage is it strengthened it. It's made it more genuine. It has helped. It has grown your relationship. In fact, I would dare say to you that you are sitting there, you are probably your spouse's biggest trial. At least I am for Rachel. Maybe you guys are different, but I know I'm Rachel's biggest trial. Right, honey? Well, don't answer that, please. Because, yeah, just don't answer that. Trials and relationships help, and marriage helps it grow, helps it develop, makes it genuine. But those of you who aren't married here, you know this is true, too, because of your friendships. I can think of my friends Ken and Lori and Dan. And I can think about some of the trials that we went through, either together or that we've helped each other with, and how that grew and how that developed and how it strengthened and purified, as it were, our relationship. And I'm sure each of you can think of certain friends that you've gone through and done the same thing with, how something has come up, and because of it, as you worked through it or as you worked alongside of each other, it just developed and grew it. You see, folks, trials purify relationships. And what we have with God first and foremost is a relationship. So therefore, trials will help purify our faith relationship with God. That's the amazing thing that God does. But if I'm really honest with you guys, if I'm being genuine, I would say to you that occasionally the trials that I've gone through in life actually haven't done this. In fact, it's kind of done the opposite. Maybe some of you guys can relate. Warren Wiersbe, who's just actually recently passed away, he's a theologian and a commentator. He once said this. He said, "If we value comfort more than character, then trials will upset us. If we value material and the physical more than the spiritual, we will not be able to count it all joy." That actually comes from James chapter 1, verse 2, when the author says, count it as pure joy, my brothers and sisters, when you face trials of many kinds. If we live only for the present and forget about the future, then trials will make us bitter, not better. I'll be honest that when I first read these words, I started squirming a little bit because it made me a little bit uncomfortable. Because how often have I let trials affect me so negatively that it made me bitter and unjoyful? How often have I cared for the material's comfort of life over the spiritual? How often have these words that Warren Wiersbe have said truly been reflected of me? More than I care to admit sometimes. And I suspect that many, if not all of you sitting here, can relate to these words in some way. That the trials that you've gone through in life truly have gotten the best of you. But here's the great thing about God, is that when trials come, when they do get the best of us, He calls us to repent and carry on. He calls us to say, oh Lord, forgive me for I've let whatever this is, I let it just get the best of me, and it's turned me negatively towards you or towards somebody else. As we confess and as we come, again, God wipes it clean, right? And He calls us to carry on. See, we're not stuck in that place of bitterness. We're not stuck in that place of seeing it through a particular set of lenses that isn't healthy. We're not stuck there. And God continues to refine and to shape us through these trials so that we will become 24-karat gold Christians, as someone once said. I kind of like that term. God is calling us to be 24-karat gold Christians. In other words, pure and genuine, completely pure Christians, as gold is. And when that happens, notice what happens after that, or as part of that, at the end of verse 7, when it says this. So when your faith remains strong through many trials, it will bring you much praise and glory and honor on the day when Jesus Christ is revealed to the whole world. Folks, when this happens, when the trials come and they refine us and they shape us and make our faith genuine, we will be praised. When we see Him, He will say, well done. Well done, my good and faithful servant. I had so much confidence in you. I knew that you could handle those trials of life. And yes, I knew and I saw you stumble every now and then. But now look at you. You are this 24-karat gold follower of Jesus. You are this amazing person. Folks, I find it shockingly awesome the fact that God will praise us for enduring through the trials that we go through. That's the amazing God that we have. That's the amazing God that we serve. Well, I shall end this morning. Let me just repeat this again, that as followers of Jesus, we're living as foreigners, and trials will be naturally part of our life on this earth. And these trials will take many different forms. But here's the thing. These trials that we go through can either make us like this cup of coffee, or this potato, or this egg. You see, all three are boiled in water. Okay? All three are boiled in water. But you take the potato. The potato, when it gets boiled, makes it soft and mushy, right? It can't stand up to the heat. It cannot stand up to the trials. It will give up, as it were. The egg, on the other hand, can stand up to the heat. An egg that is boiled becomes hard. And sometimes trials can make us hard toward God, toward other people. But God's perspective is that boiling water on coffee beans does neither. It doesn't make us soft. It doesn't make us hard. But what it does, it turns it into this magical elixir. For those of you who don't drink coffee, you're missing out. I'll really be honest. But folks, this is what God desires trials to do to us, to make us into an amazing cup of coffee. It really is good. Rachel, I don't understand why you don't like coffee, but that's okay. That's 2 weeks of discussion I'm sure we'll have. Folks, may we truly understand how God uses trials in our life. And may we praise Him. May we praise Him for these trials that we go through. Let us pray. Oh God, thank you. Lord, I want to thank you for my trials of my life. I want to thank you for the trials that we as a church go through. I want to thank you for the trials that we as individual followers of Jesus go through. God, they're not easy and they're sometimes hard and we sometimes don't like them. But Lord, we pray that you truly would use them in our life to make our faith genuine, that we would turn into these 24-karat gold Christians. Oh God, you are this amazing God. You don't let these trials change us. You let these trials change us and make us into this amazing person. So Father, even though, if we're honest, we don't want to go through them, as we do, we will walk and we will praise you for what you will do in and through them. Say this all in the name of Jesus. Amen. Worship team, please come up and lead us in our closing song.